welcome to another Beer and Loathing podcast. My name is Kedem, or I just changed my name to Gazinia, so I'm going to have to say it's Gazinia. My name is Gazinia, goddammit, and I'm joined by my two best friends in the world, Sam Sly and Mad Dog 2020. We're also joined by Ryan Hannigan from Focus on the Beer. I'm feeling a little sick, and I'm a little out of it, so you're going to have to bear with me.
At least you caught the right name this time.
Well, actually, yeah, earlier on G-Chat, referred to me, well, he said, you know, I don't know if we're going to be able to start right at 8, and he said, I haven't heard anything from Matt yet, and I was talking to him.
I'm talking to Matt.
So, I, you know.
So let's just do this shit again. Ryan, what are you drinking?
So Ninkasi Brewing Company just started distributing Colorado. So as part of our company's Secret Santa, I got gifted a vanilla oats, which is their with vanilla. Luckily, I've got one of these Spiegelau stout glasses, and an entire bomber fits into a stout glass.
It's pretty ridiculous, actually. I'm still waiting on my Ninkasi beer. They emailed me about sending some samples and everything. I'm like, yeah. And then I just got an email the other day. Apparently, their shipment got sent back. So they're trying again at a different address. So we'll see if I ever actually get any of those. I'm looking forward to trying some, whatever they send me.
How'd you get that? Did you just contact them or what?
No, they contacted me. I think I'm on a list from GABF or something.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
How did you get on that list?
Yeah, I figured anyone that... was getting press releases like beforehand. I mean, I don't know. I didn't get anything from them before.
It could have been from going to that Magic Cat beer breakfast, because that alley girl that we talked to does not work for, she doesn't work for Magic Cat. She works for like a conglomerate.
Oh, and they might be distributing through them.
Yeah, that makes sense. She's kind of like a general PR person for everybody. Makes sense. What about you, Pete? What are you guzzling?
Regret. A few months ago, my girlfriend Leah and I brewed this wine. It's like a wine. It's like 18. I feel like it's in the range of 15 to 20% based on like my OG and Final Gravity. It was a lemon ginger wine, and it tastes like shit. So we call it swill because it gets you drunk really fast. So I just ran out of my last black label, and Lee is on her way home with beer, and I just mixed swill and vodka together.
Why?
The lemon actually cuts the vodka. This is actually not that bad of a drink. I just know by the end of the podcast I'm gonna be like, yeah, just fucking drooling all over myself. So I apologize in advance.
You look like Charlie Day after he ate that wad of brownie with like all the cold medicine in it when they're in a dance competition, just sitting there like drooling. Don't worry, dude, I can handle my sedatives.
Yeah, they just laying on the ground in the next shot.
Yeah. Well, I'll go next. I'm drinking a Mercenary Double IPA from Odell's because I stole a 4-pack of it from somebody at the festival this past weekend, so I'm going with that.
Okay.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I didn't realize it was a double IPA. It's got some balls to it.
Matt, what are you drinking?
Well, I didn't have any beer in the house, but I...
Milk!
I do
have... Blue Curacao!
No, but I do still have a case of 16-ounce Surge cans, so I'm drinking a 16-ounce Surge right now.
They still make Surge?
They started making it again. And if you're interested, I can read you the nutrition facts on the back of this Surge can.
Yes!
Sugar, caffeine...
Well, okay, so this is a 16-ounce Surge. This is not... I mean, this is pretty big. First, it says less than 1% juice. That's probably correct. Amount of calories per serving, 230.
How many servings in a can?
One can.
Okay, perfect.
Total fat, 0. Sodium, 50 milligrams. Total carbohydrates, 62 grams. That's 21% of your daily value of carbohydrates. But it does say at the very bottom, it says low sodium. So that's good. And the caffeine content is 69 milligrams per 16 fluid ounces. And that's quite a bit of caffeine.
69.
Oh, yeah.
3 cups of coffee.
But see, the thing is I drink so much.
Nutrition seems like a kind of a misnomer on this.
Yeah.
Nutrition isn't what I would call any of this.
Yeah. I'm pretty immune to caffeine these days.
I was going
to
say, it sounds like it's really jazzing you up.
Yeah.
That's like a cup of coffee. I'm looking at.
Yeah, 69 milligrams.
Of coffee is like 95 to 200 milligrams caffeine content.
Right, and I drink like four of those a day, so.
Yeah, I'm almost in the two or three range.
Right.
All right, well, so should we go on to our first little topic of the show here?
Yeah, guys, please recap the Big Beer Festival, because I'm incredibly interested in that since I couldn't be there. I'm pissed that I wasn't there.
It was a good time. I mean, for me personally, being the first time there, and the last real festival I'd gone to was GABF. Prior to it, it was a bit of a shock when I walked into the hall, just because it was so small. Like I walked in, the first thought bubble that popped up over my head was, I could probably drink every brewery here, and that was a stupid thing to think. As Ryan's reaction indicates. It was a good time.
Elaborate, please. I mean, how many did you get through? Like, did you get through all of them in the first day or the first hour? Or? Well,
it's only a one-day thing. The actual commercial tasting is a one-day thing. So I had, how much time did we get around? Like 4.5 hours?
It started at like 1:30. Oh, no, it started at 2:30. Media were allowed in at 2.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it ended at 6. So
it ended at
so
6
everyone,
for some reason.
Maybe it ended at 6:30.
No,
I
it didn't. I remember it ended earlier, and I'm like, oh, I need to interview more people, and this should not be over yet.
Yeah, no, and the thing about it is that it was deceptive how much time you had, because all the beers there, with the exception of a couple, there were a couple breweries that brought some like special things that were under the 7% sort of benchmark, but everything else was 7% or higher.
I never even noticed there was a benchmark of 7%. I mean, everything I drank was at least 8. I went for everything barrel aged. I had a couple of sours and stuff just because I wanted to prove you wrong that I'll drink them. But that was interesting. But I mean, it's up in Vail. It's right on a Vail property. So, I mean, it's a beautiful back setting. You know, you're right there in the mountains. The air is about as thin as a fucking crisp. The night before, we went bowling, and that was hosted by Dogfish Head, right?
Yeah, Sam was walking around, and sat at the same table as us, and it was crazy, actually.
Yeah.
That's badass.
Yeah, it was pretty sweet. And
but
then,
we were sitting in these little, they're like shotgun lounge areas, and right across the way was Lauren Salazar from New Belgium, and the whole New Belgium crew was there, and
the owner
Ska
of
Falling Rock was there.
Yeah.
The owner of Fresh Craft was there as well. Pretty much the who's who was there, and we just sort of took a spot and didn't let anybody get in.
And Ryan was awesome. It was free bowling, and you're supposed to bowl like a game and then like let people cycle through. So Ryan was on point every 10th frame, and once we got to like the last bowl, he was like 3, 2, 1, pop, and then we just like restarted our games over again, and we got through like what, 4 or 5 games?
We got through 5 games, I think.
Yeah. Jesus. I mean, we had teams of two, and we were alternating every other frame, so it wasn't like everyone bowled one full game, but still, we were there for at least an hour and a half or so, and Worldwide Stout was running like water.
I had a couple of those.
I tried a few other things. I think I had a Maharaja, and I couldn't even pronounce the name.
Even on the menu for the Worldwide Stout, it just said ABV 15 to 20%.
Yeah, that's right. It didn't really know.
Oh, nice. It's like a crapshoot. I could get drunk, or I could get really drunk.
Yeah, I could get just mush face, or I could get total slobbering face wasted. Who knows?
And the main thing I remember from that night was, you know, talking when Sam came over and sat down and said hi to us. He asked like what everyone's drinking, and I started off by saying, "Oh, I'm drinking Worldwide Stout." He's like, "Oh, you're a brave man."
Even he's like, hey,
yeah,
I like
you. No, thank you.
You've got balls. I like balls.
So, Ryan, do you have any like shaky moments where you're like, I am too fucking drunk? Did you have any of those this weekend?
Not really. You know, I tried to pace myself pretty well. You know, that night was, you know, just the Worldwide Stouts. You're at such high altitude that, you know, like two beers and you're like, whoa, alrighty. I'm feeling it already. So there wasn't any a point where like we were all just like downing them like crazy.
Yeah.
Plus,
they weren't coming around that fast either, so we couldn't if we wanted to.
Yeah, that's true. It was actually a perfect storm. You know, like everything just came at the perfect time. You know, you'd finish your beer and oh, the guy would just show up and you'd get a new one in about 10 minutes. They were slammed though. I mean, that was probably really good service for being how busy they were.
Yeah, I know. I couldn't agree with that anymore. It was, it was perfect. I didn't need to be chugging these things back with like one in each hand or anything. So I'm not complaining. And our bar tab at the end was good enough. If we would have had a limited access.
I was pretty amazed at how low our bar tab was based on, like, A, the amount we bowled, because we bowled for about 2 hours, and I asked the guy afterwards what the per hour bowling rate was, and our tab was basically what the per hour bowling rate was.
Like if we were just normally bowling on a regular
bowling
day.
With no drinks.
Wow.
That's...
It's high.
Awesome.
It's high-end bowling. Like you walk in, and it's right in the middle of Vail City, which, I mean, you have to take a like Vail downtown Vail, or the Village as they call it. I mean, it's like the 16th Street Mall. You have to take like a bus to get around, or you could walk it. So you can't like drive there. So we got a shuttle and found our way there, and it's like this ritzy, fancy-ass looking restaurant. It's called just BOL Bowl, and.
It's got an umlaut over the O.
Yeah, that's right. It does have the fancy dot dot.
That's how you know it's fancy. It has a fucking umlaut.
Yeah, and it's all super trendy inside, and then you walk through the like dining area into the back, and then there's just walls with like beautiful lighting and all these bowling balls that look like cue balls and like pool balls, like eight balls and all that shit. And then there's, I don't know how many lanes there were, maybe 8 or 10 or something, and it's all, like, swanky lighting, and, you know, you feel like, I might see someone famous here, but who the fuck bowls that's famous?
Like
but if
the
they did...
Frank Sinatra is there, and he's slamming this sour or something in bowling.
Yeah, it'd be like if Frank Sinatra ended up in Futurama or something, like, you'd just see his head floating around.
In a bowling ball.
Yeah, it was a good time. You know, it's funny, you were talking about the altitude, Ryan. At altitude, I get this I'm invincible period of time where I'm like, altitude be damned. I feel like a champion. This isn't even getting to me.
Well, and that's sort of that two-beer minimum where you get past that second beer and you're like, wow, I feel like a champion. I'm easy. This will be easy.
Yeah.
But that's actually when you are really like, oh, God. Like, yeah. Your body is saying that, but your brain's going, we're good to go.
I don't think you understand, sir, that we have less oxygen here. I just, yeah, when we got back to the hotel and Tony bought that round of old fashions.
Oh, God, that, like, screwed me up.
You guys got hand jobs at the hotel?
Yeah. I didn't, but that would have been neat. Full service hotel right there.
I didn't know they served hand jobs in bulk like that.
You know, Vail's amazing place, Pete's magical. You'll have to come out there sometime.
You have to know who to talk to.
Did like midget strippers come out and do it or something? It sounds like a magical fairyland.
Yep, they did, and we threw them at each other onto each other's penises.
Wow.
Yeah.
That sounds like a good day.
it was a good day. If Ice-T or Ice Cube could have been there, he would have sang about it or rapped about it, and it was a good day.
Nice meme.
So that was the first day. That was Friday, and then Saturday was the day that all the seminars were at. So they had a stout seminar, they had a sour seminar, they had a food pairing seminar, they had a brewing Belgian style beers with New Belgium seminar.
There was a yeast seminar that I wanted to go to and slept through.
Yeah, there was a ton of really cool. They had a lot of the stuff's for some homebrewers as well. So they had a like a recipe formulation seminar where the guy talked about schedules and basically he sort of gave you a map of how you could brew for the entire year to have the right styles available during the right periods of the year.
That
is
cool
really
shit.
It's a really cool idea to do that, to like basically schedule your brewing out so that you're only brewing what's in season, but before it's in season. So when it's ready, it's in season.
That's like a roadmap to like perfectly timed drunkenness.
It's like all those
seasonal
training
drunkenness.
It's like a training calendar, but
seasonal drunkenness. Oh, we gotta write up something about that. That sounds like a fun idea that we should play with. How to be appropriately drunk for the season.
So, Sam slept through everything, but I went to the...
I can't even argue that. I felt like shit. I picked up my press pass at, like, 10:30, and I was going to go wander around and, like, take some like just standard like stock shots of Vail Village and stuff for the video, and then I'm like, fuck this, I'm going back to bed. I felt awful.
Yeah, I got up at we got up at 9 or so.
Yeah, that's about when I got up. I think when you messaged me, that was when I was kind of rolling out of bed.
Yeah, and so we went to the I was hanging out with some people from Missouri, who work for a couple breweries out there, and we went to this experimental brewing seminar, and it was with 4 pretty much amazing breweries that all do experimental stouts. And so there was John Mallett from Bell's Brewery, which is in Michigan.
me and Peter are familiar.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you are.
I was wearing a Bell's shirt the night before, so you know I'm familiar.
They had Corey King, who is the head brewer over at Perennial. They're over in St. Louis.
I've seen their name.
Brian Dunn, who is the co-founder, and I think he's still... one of the brewers over at Great Divide in Denver.
Mm.
And then he had one of the new guys on the scene, Jerry Gobian, who is the co-owner and head brewer at Copper Kettle up there in Denver.
Okay. I've had some of the Copper Kettle. I think they're just their Mexican chocolate stout.
And that's what they were talking about. That's one of the experimental ones.
That's the only one of theirs I've had, too.
So it started off with Bell's talking about, you know, malting and how they experiment. We had like their cherry stout. We had some like coffee stout. Oh, we had the double cream stout, which has no like cream in it or no lactose. It's just called double cream stout for some reason.
Oh my god, that shit is so funny.
Just because they're like, yeah, you know what? Let's call this double cream.
they're like, there's no cream in this beer. It's like, all right, whatever. It still tastes amazing.
Yeah, they're probably like, what names are left that we can actually use? Double cream. That seems good.
Third one that I can't totally remember.
Did you have Black Note?
And then the last one's Black Note.
Okay.
Oh wow.
And then they were the ones that brought the most beer. Well, yeah, I guess they brought 4. And then Great Divide brought 4 as well. Great Divide brought a bunch of Yetis, which I didn't know that the chocolate oak aged Yeti was actually a Mexican chocolate stout.
I did not know that either.
I have not ever had that one before, but they actually put cinnamon in it and some chili peppers, and it's really good.
The chocolate oak, okay, that might be a slightly different variation than...
Yeah, it's one that they put out in the summertime.
Really? Okay. I've had the chocolate oak aged. I didn't realize it had cinnamon and anything else, and I never picked
it's
up
got
on
a,
that.
It's got a little. It's very very minor compared to the other ones, because the other two were Perennial Artisan Ales in St. Louis. They had Abraxas, which is
that's what I've heard of.
Really, really, really rich, chocolatey, cinnamony, just amazing. Got some kick to it. And then they also brought their bourbon barrel aged Sump, which is named after a coffee company in St. Louis called Sump. And I hope I'm saying it right that they're in St. Louis. I'm gonna actually look it up right now because I'm like,
I feel like you're right because I thought I saw something about them in the airport when I was stuck in St. Louis.
Yeah, St. Louis, Missouri. Yeah. Their barrel aged Sump is an imperial stout, and then they put that in bourbon barrels. And so this was like, it was a coffee stout, and it was amazing. And then the then of course Copper Kettle had their Mexican chocolate stout, and also a bourbon barrel stout with coffee as well that they call Snow Cap, I think, or Snowed In.
And so you had a shit ton of stouts, barrel aged and otherwise, by like 10:30 a.m., huh?
12 beers of over the percent ABV of about 10%, yeah. And, you know, they're only about 3 to 4 ounce pours, but, man, it was rough. And I did leave some wounded soldiers. It was hard. I was looking at it, I'm like, I don't like that one as much. But luckily, some of the people that the girl sitting next to me... was really into a couple of them, so I was able to pass it off to her and be like, all right, you drink the rest of this.
There you go. No, that's
good. I don't want it to go to waste. I'll let you drink this one.
I would have loved to have been there and drank some of those and thrown them back up in my own mouth, if that's what would have happened.
It was tough. Just after the night before.
Gotta give you one for honesty, Sam.
Yeah, that's one thing I'll always be, is honest.
one of my big takeaways from that, though, was you know, a lot of them had coffee in it. So the one of the questions from the audience was, how do you make your coffee so that it's not bitter and astringent before you add it into the beers? Because, you know, a lot of these places are making their beers on a mass scale.
Yeah,
they're not just like brewing like a cup of coffee and pouring it into a 5-gallon batch. You know, they're doing it so that it can sit on the shelf and age for a little bit and still have that coffee flavor.
Is coffee one of those things that ages out of beer?
I've never aged one of those for long enough to know. I think it's one of those flavors that's gonna probably stay with it. It's not like a spice where it will like mellow.
Yeah, diminish over time. It's an aggregate.
Because there's a lot of those malts that give you that coffee flavor almost already.
That's true. Yeah, that might be something to research after the fact.
So the question for the audience was basically how they went about getting the coffee into the beer. And three out of the four breweries did it one way, and another one did it the completely opposite way. The opposite way was hot extraction, where they're doing, you know, they're brewing an espresso, essentially, using hot water to draw the flavor out and then adding that to the beer.
Did the rest of them cold brew it?
The other one, everyone else cold brews it. The issues that was then brought up from that, which was really interesting, because I've made a coffee stout before, and it was, and I did cold brew, but it ended up being weird and it oxidized really easily. One of the crazy interesting things they brought up was that, so when you boil like a homebrew, all of the it's basically a deoxygenated liquid, mm-hmm. because the boiling process releases all that oxygen from the water.
Uh-huh.
And then if you add a cold brewed coffee, you're using just cold water, which still has a lot of oxygen in it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so essentially what happens is that oxygen, you know, you only need a certain amount of parts per million or per billion. And they said it, and I should have written it down, and of course didn't write it down. So they said it, and they're like, you know, if you're doing a 5-gallon batch, that's, you know, one, you know, a cup of coffee, of cold coffee, is going to bring you up to that parts per million, you know, where you've got a chance for oxidation and get some off flavors. And so they say that to you know, cycle CO2 through it to help sort of purge it of the...
Would it be a bad idea to, like, toss it in right before you go to ferment it? Because, I mean, you're supposed to oxygenate your wort before pitching your yeast, because yeast need that that oxygen to interact with to create the CO2 and the alcohol. Or would it maybe give off some off flavors if the yeast is like, oh, we're going to play with this coffee now and see what else we poop
and
out?
And I think that's what people realize, is they want to sort of be able to blend it with a finished beer.
Yeah.
So you know what your percentages are, and the fermentation could change that. But it was really interesting just to hear that, you know, if you just put in this, you know, this cold water thing that has oxygen in it, it could cause some off flavors. It's like, wow, that's sort of a mind blowing. Like, all right, well,
and they're ballsy enough just to roll with it. They're like, yeah, we'll manage this part of the process and make a fantastic beer.
The crazy thing is that you got people like Perennial who make this coffee stout in mass quantities. And they take an entire fermenter and they like hang a bag of coffee in the middle of it, fill it with water, and then bubble CO2 through it.
Okay.
So they have like barrels of coffee, of basically cold brew coffee that they make, and they test it over a couple of weeks, like a week or 2 week period of how it's turning out, and then the coffee guy comes by and they taste it, make sure it's the right flavor profile, whatever, before they even blend it into the beer.
That's nuts. Ryan, this wasn't your first year going, right?
I went a couple of years ago. Probably 2010 was the last time I was there.
Okay.
No, we drove up from Durango, and it was fun, but...
Coming from Durango, that'd be fucking brutal.
It's a long drive from
Durango. Yeah, that'd be terrible going back the next day. I mean, I was a wreck driving home on Sunday. I mean, I felt like shit. And then I got my car all salted up, so I couldn't really actually see anything on I-70, but I'm a good guesser, so it all worked out okay.
I-70 wasn't too bad, you know, there was...
Yeah.
When did you leave on Sunday?
I think I left around 11.
Oh, I was back in the Springs by 11.
Okay, then you probably had a great drive. I I had some sketch moments because it started to snow and people don't know how to drive in the snow ever on I-70 because they're usually from Texas and they're tourists.
Was it snowing
not heavily
after the tunnel?
Not really. No, it was all snowing before the tunnel pretty much.
Yeah, it was like that in the morning as well.
Okay. Yeah, well. It took me 3 hours, which it took me an hour 45 to get there, not counting a stop at Tommyknocker for lunch. So all things that it beats the week before when it took us 8 hours to get back from Vail, basically. So that wins.
Yeah.
But
you never know with I-70.
Yeah. No, overall I thought it was a brilliant festival though, and like you said it beforehand, the difference to me was there's a lot of industry people. And I mean, yeah, there's people that are shit faced. There's a guy that was touching my camera, I had to yell at him and you know, shit like that. But for the most part,
that was only at the commercial taste.
Yeah, no, everything else was really, really classy.
So the thing about this festival is that there's a commercial tasting, which is like your average beer festival, but there's all these seminars and it's all these industry people or homebrewers that have entered a competition.
Yeah, the homebrewing aspect I was impressed with. They really put a lot of focus on that. I mean, you did the volunteer judging and stuff, and that was a huge chunk of time, it sounded like, for you on Friday.
Yeah, Friday, you know, it was, they were, I had talked to a couple of my friends who are actually like licensed BJCP or certified BJCP judges, and they had checked in, and the people running it said, hey, do you know anybody else that is willing to pair up with you and judge? Essentially, they need to have, if you're not licensed or certified, they need to have you paired up with someone that is, just for sort of, you know, the professional side of it. So I was paired up with a local guy from Colorado Springs here that his nickname is Lefty. he's an awesome guy. He works a ton, but he's at every beer event I've seen all over the place. And he sort of wandered out. I was at the welcome ceremony, and he wandered out. I was like, hey, do you want to judge beer? And I was like, I like beer.
Is that a rhetorical question, sir?
and then he told me, he's like, I'm signed up for Belgians and fruit beers. And I was like, oh, I don't know. I really am not a Belgian fan, but I do, fruit beers aren't bad. So
that first
sure,
one,
why not?
That first one you were trying when I walked in and you sampled it and like, I think you wrote exactly, wow, this tastes just like peaches. And I was laughing at that and you're like, smell this shit. I'm like, wow, that smells
yeah.
just like peaches.
Yeah, it was like peaches and cream.
Yeah.
What the flavor was. It was ridiculous.
It smelled like you just opened up a can of Dole peaches.
It was some of these beers, and that's the thing, is that you judge a homebrew competition, so I tasted, you know, about an ounce to 2 ounces of about 20 different beers. And some of these people have some serious skill. Holy cow.
They got some chops.
Yeah, and the fact that they're still homebrewing and not, like, professional brewers, it's a little crazy.
Yeah, it's a little intimidating as a homebrewer. It's like, wow, there's guys that can do this? Shit. but overall, man, are you going to try to go back next year, you think? I mean, what's your take on the festival? I mean, I loved it. I want to go back, and I want to do some of the sessions and not be puke on my balls in the shower mess on Saturday morning. Saturday morning.
Well, some of you actually did that.
I puked in the shower, just not on my balls. That was a little over the top, but I felt like if my balls were in the way, I would have just thrown up on them, you know?
If he had just been leaning back, yeah, it would have happened.
If I'd been sitting down, it probably would have happened.
You threw up in the shower? Damn, I have yet to have that life achievement. Like, I feel like when I do it, there's going to be a little bubble that pops up, like if I'm...
Dude,
achievement in a video game.
I achieved that shit when I was like 21. Man, I was still in college when I was puking in the shower. That shit just happens.
Damn.
So to answer your question, yeah, you know, the thing about it is that Vail Big Beers is probably, you know, I would say it's the hands down best beer festival in the country.
I heard a lot of people say that, actually.
Just for the fact that you have some of the top industry people there.
Yeah. Excited to be there too. I mean,
they enjoy being there.
Sam from Dogfish Head at the bowling thing was just—he seemed like he was having a fucking blast, and he was all about it.
Well, and the thing about it is that it's because it's a little bit more. I mean, the tasting this year they held it over in that room they had there. Yeah, they'd had it in years past. They'd had it in like the Vail Cascade Resort, and so it was a little smaller in years past.
Okay.
But even that was, you know, that wasn't very big. It was a pretty small beer festival, if you ask me.
It was actually smaller than when I volunteered at the Epic Brew Festival when that came through Denver a year or two ago. That still took up a more space in like a quarter of the wing of the convention center than this did by a lot.
But even walking around the commercial session, the thing about that is that you go to that and the brewers are the ones pouring the beer for you. You don't have some no-name volunteer like at GABF that's like, well, this is a pale ale. It's pale. It's really dark.
This is a really dark pale ale. It's bourbon barrel aged with whiskey in it.
So you've got the brewers there. So if you have a question, they can walk you through the entire process of making their beer. Adam Avery, the owner of Avery, was at the Avery booth the entire session.
Yeah, one of the owners of New Holland, I think, was standing at the booth pretty much the whole time too.
Yeah. Yeah, the
evangelist.
Yeah, he was there. Yeah, and the thing about it is that they don't, you know, they do bring some of their salespeople there, but the brewers, you know, they like to be there because, you know, a lot of people that go to the commercial tasting are home brewers, and they really want that sort of knowledge, and it's a really intimate sort of setting, even though it's a beer fest.
Yeah, I will definitely be trying to go back, myself. Like I said, hopefully next time I'll be a more respectable human being and actually go to all the sessions and shit.
You know, I think you got some pretty good content though, I think.
Oh, I think I did too. I got some pretty good interviews. People were really liking the questions we were asking. I mean, I was playing up the stupid factor of physical size versus strength and stuff, and people were at least getting the joke and respecting that. So I was glad for that. As long as people can keep getting our sense of humor, I'm happy. That's all I want.
Well, and just a little plug. I actually recorded 98% of the Stout seminar.
Oh, nice.
And so on our site, we've got almost the entire Stout seminar. There's a couple hiccups at the beginning. So if you want to just hear what everyone had to say, and you can actually hear most of the questions as well. It's up there. It's about an hour and 20 minutes. So if you're at work and you need sort of something to sort of listen to, pop it in your earbuds and listen to it.
That's focusonthebeer.com, everybody, if you haven't
figured
it out.
We'll put
a link
up on our site for that.
Yeah, we will. That's badass. I didn't realize you got that whole summer. I'm probably going to go listen to
that. Yeah, I brought my iPad to that, and I realized, like, a minute in, and I was like, oh, crap, I can record this whole thing. And so I recorded it. And the funny thing is that throughout it, you could hear Haley, the girl sitting next to me, and Mike, the guy sitting to my right, who's part of the homebrew club here in Colorado Springs, you can hear us going, ooh, that's really good. Oh, that's amazing. And it's just like little whispers like between things. But it's funny because they'll be like, try that. And then there's like this pause where everybody in the audience is drinking, and you hear someone go, oh, that's awesome.
Is there ever like a collective, ooh, oh.
It's like this collective, ooh.
It's like a messed up porn you can't watch. It's like, here, try this. Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's good.
Did you go out at all on Saturday night?
Yeah, we went to the Ale House and had dinner. And I ended up sitting at a table with one of the reps and the owner from New Holland Brewing Company with Sarah from Left Hand. And yeah, it was cool. That place was slammed. The service was atrocious, and they made no qualms about it. They're like, they came out after about 20 minutes. We've been sitting there, and like, hey, sorry, we are absolutely slammed. We're like, well, duh, we can see that. But they're like, we're not the food. If you want to order food, it's going to be at least an hour. We're like, well, can we at least put our order in now? Wait an hour. And she's like, if you want to wait, go for it. But I'm like, if you can bring us alcohol in the interim, we'll be okay. So I got
I can't imagine that kitchen staff just getting their fucking asses hammered the entire night.
I imagine some people got a little hot and started shouting at each other at that point. There had to be some fights in the fucking kitchen.
There had to have been some kitchen drama for sure.
Yeah. No, but I didn't eat any breakfast or lunch before the commercial tasting, so I was like trying not to get too shit-faced. And then I ate, and then I got shit-faced. And like, I remember being the only guy taking the shuttle from Ale House back to the hotel, and I'm like sitting up front with the driver and realizing I have no money to tip the guy, so I had to do that Peter Griffin thing where I just kind of backed away. Felt like a real asshole, but I'm like, I'm here and I'm safe. I don't care. That's what's the important thing. I'm sure someone will tip him nicely for me at some point.
But total non sequitur. But did you see the video of the Comic Con Peter Griffin guy?
No.
There's a guy that basically dresses up. He does a cosplay of Peter Griffin.
Yeah.
And he is better than Seth MacFarlane at making the voice.
He's better than the guy who does the voice.
It's ridiculous, but he looks like him too. That's the thing.
That's like the Lewis Black joke where he showed up for an audition for a show based on his stand-up. And he said they didn't go with him because they found a better guy. He's like, unbeknownst to me, there was a better me.
There's a better me.
I actually just got these cool things in the mail from a Denver company called Poppin' Stops.
That sounds like a dance move for...
It's totally a dance move. So they just started a Kickstarter for these, and essentially they're 3D printed bottle openers and then bottle toppers.
Bottle topper, what's that?
Like... Joe, the guy that's doing this is a guy named Joe Haskell, and he had sent me an email probably a week or two ago, just asking for us to share it, and I was like, hey, if you guys have any extras, send them our way, and I'll do a little review. And I'm working on a review right now, so I've got two beers in the fridge topped with them, open to different times of the day. You know, one of them is over half gone, the other one's only a little bit gone, just to sort of see how well it keeps the carbonation.
Yeah.
And so I have the last, he sent me three of them, so I've got the last one here, and I guess it's sitting right here, so this is a bottle opener, so I'll just open it like this.
I guess my only question is, why? Who the fuck doesn't finish a beer once they open it?
Well, so the issue is that, and of course these, they're, sort of a bad thing, these are 3D printed, and they don't open the beer.
Do they break?
They break.
I wondered about that because I've heard.
Well, they don't totally break.
They don't stay together.
They don't stay together because they have a little rubber thing that holds them together. And
the material.
I had one earlier one.
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, I had an earlier one that had cracked a little bit, but it opened the beer. And this one, this is a Ballast Point is what I'm drinking now. So it's, you know, it's been capped, you know,
aggressively,
so it can be shipped from Ballast Point all the way out here, and it definitely did not do that well. They're offering two different versions on their Kickstarter. They've got a 3D printed, which is what he sent me, which is, you know, probably the easiest to produce, but then they also have a molded one, which will be made out of a harder plastic, which I'm guessing will probably be the better one.
And amazingly enough, I actually have a small background in composite sciences. At my first job out of college, I had to learn a bunch of composite bullshit, and I'm guessing what their 3D printed ones are thermoplastic, and their molded ones are going to be thermoset, which is way harder, and you're absolutely right. It'll actually probably work properly. But, yeah, that's interesting. I've heard a lot of the ups and downs of 3D printing, and that's a fun little true-life scenario of it.
I was going to say, that's pretty interesting that you know that, dude. Like, you're just breaking out this, like, plastic injection molding knowledge on us right now.
Hey, ask your dad about it. That's why I was at Stalin, man. He'll probably
know
about it,
too.
That's
the only reason why I find it interesting is because my dad talks about it all the fucking time.
But now I'm stuck here without a bottle opener.
Oh, come on, man. You got to have one in your house.
Well, no, I'm like, trapped in. I've got this table here.
I'm trapped, man. I can't get out of this area.
Just YouTube,
can you
how
me
to
a
open
bottle
a bottle without an opener.
So she handed me the best bottle opener I've ever owned, which is made by Black Bottle Brewery up in Fort Collins.
Oh, yeah?
It's basically a 50 caliber shell that has been carved into to make a bottle opener.
That's
pretty badass. Someone gave my buddy Rob one of those for a wedding gift, I think. Oh, no, did he give me one? No, that can't be right. I don't remember. He gave us a lot of stuff for a wedding, for being a groomsman in his wedding, and that might have been one of them. I don't really remember anymore. But
best bottle opener ever. It opens through wax. It opens through anything else.
Well, and for the sake of our usual segues, if you're opening a bottle, have you opened a bottle of Route 2 Brewing Company's beers? Because, man, they have some labels that you would not believe.
Yes. That is the segue I know and love. I feel comfortable with that, Sam.
That that as well.
Damn, I saw those beer labels. They are incredibly misogynistic. But for real, though, they are incredibly misogynistic.
So let me give a little backdrop on this, because I'm assuming many people probably not have heard of this. I happened to follow a little subset of tweeters that got real pissed off last week over a little Indiana brewery called Route 2 Brewing Company that had put up some labels on their Facebook page, apparently, and I think they had them on their website. And they have since been taken down because it is basically pornography on a beer label. And I never was able to, like, find out if they actually were getting these labels approved by the labeling board or whatever, that group that does it. Like, I should say that guy that does that. But basically, it was three styles of beer, and it was three styles of tits and ass. And the one that stuck out to me was the leg spreader ESB, which was basically just a chick spread eagle with a bottle of beer covering up what would normally be an X-rated scenario.
Her vagina is what Sam is getting at.
Yeah. I can't say that word. I can't do it. I always want to say just Virginia instead.
So the thing is you guys just sent me these images.
First impressions, Ryan, what did you think?
So my classical training is a graphic designer. These are horrible.
They're fucking awful. Like, not even from perspective of, like, any sort of moral standpoint. They look like shit. They're just bad.
It's not even the moral standpoint, that's another story.
That's a whole other issue. But
the thing is that, like, it looks like, so the ESB, they tried to emulate Trajan Pro, which is a font that has been used by tons of if you look at bad
alert.
Yeah, sorry,
it's all right. No, I appreciate that.
I am totally on board with your
font. But he actually knows what the font is by looking at it. You're not that big of a nerd.
so if you look at if you Google, like, sort of like generic movie posters, this is the font they use in, like, everything. Like, Hotel Rwanda used it for a movie. Like, everything to, like, even, like, The Hangover might have used it for a movie. It's this font that's, like, looks awesome, but it's like, come on, really?
It's like the Helvetica of a serif font.
But the thing about this, it looks like they tried to trace it, but they didn't do it very well.
Helvetica is sans serif.
Right, well, yeah, it's like a Helvetica of serif fonts. I was just saying, it's very common and just very...
Well, no, but the thing is I would rather people use Helvetica over Trajan Pro.
We don't need to get into a font conversation, but I hear what you're saying.
The reason I know it's Trajan Pro is because of the P.
I just like Comic Sans, all right? Any other font is
I like Comic Sans at 1995. We just go with what we know here.
Comic Sans hasn't changed in years.
But so I'm just looking at this one for, like, the stacked double IPA, where the word stacked is covering up nipples on some what looks like very terribly operated on tits. And
it looks like barbed wire with Pamela Anderson. It looks like her character with just a sensor bar that says stacked across it.
Except for they actually took her boobs and shoved basketballs in them.
In Indiana, is this what they think women look like? Because we've got much more beautiful women out here west of the Mississippi.
Like, well, here's the thing that, Ryan, that since I just sent you the images, so you don't know this, a woman actually drew this. So there were, like, people defending these on the internet, and Pete found some...
That was the best argument. It's not sexist or misogynistic because a woman drew it.
That's like the most hollow argument. Invalid argument. Yeah, it's so completely hollow. You can be of any gender and be sexist against your own. It doesn't matter if a woman drew it.
But the thing is that these are beers. We don't need to worry about sexism or feminism or massive, being masochists or kiss or anything like that. But the whole thing about this is we need to look at these from an objective standpoint.
Yes. And I mean,
what does this tell us about the double IPA?
It's pretty bad. Bad boob job of an IPA.
Obviously don't want a female to drink it, that's for sure, because that would obviously put you off the minute that you saw it.
So actually, you know what I just kind of came to realize?
Most guys won't want to drink this either.
Yeah, absolutely.
No,
if I saw that, I'd be like, that is fucking stupid. Like, I might have drawn that in third grade or something. Like, you know, that's just, like, childish, stupid bullshit.
And it's
like the Target drama with you know, the whole gap between the legs. Look at her waist. It's like it's been like sucked in, like photoshopped in.
Yeah.
Even though it's hand drawn.
Did you ever see that article online about the girl that was drawing self portraits on LSD?
I did not, no.
It's actually pretty cool. Like, as she goes through the peaks, like, she ends up turning into this giant flaming phoenix with purple eyes, and at one point she's like, I don't want to draw the eyes because I don't want it looking back at me. I feel like that's what this girl did. This is her perception of herself at different stages on crystal meth, because it's Indiana. All right, well, that joke just did not go.
But... Sorry. I was... preoccupied, wasn't listening.
I was busy not paying attention. I'm sorry.
It would have been a knee slapper if you said Ohio.
But they were from Indiana, and I mean, they are next door to Ohio, so that's probably where they get their meth.
Anyway,
anyway,
those labels are shit.
I just thought it's funny, and there was significant outrage, like people calling for boycotting and shit. I'm like, I mean, sure, but
I would be behind that, honestly, because that's a really fucking stupid way to market a beer.
It was very blatant. I don't know if boycotting is... I don't know. That's just my problem right now.
Yeah.
I'm so outraged for everything. It's like, come on, let's just... I feel like things like this, if they would have also ignored it, it probably would have just gone away. Like, this is such an attention-grabbing move to me. It's like, let's just all pretend like the idiots aren't actually there, and maybe they'll actually go away.
I don't think anybody is going to look at those labels, though, and be like, oh, yeah, or, like, hear about Route 2 in the news or whatever and be like, oh, yeah, that brewery that had the really shitty labels, I want to go there and get a beer. I think, if anything, it's just going to put bad publicity on them, which it should. It should put bad PR on them, because that's a stupid thing, and they should feel bad about that.
That's a really good point, Pete, and that's actually what I hope this kind of stuff will do, where people will finally... You know, people.
I don't want people to be hush hush about it or like, let's just ignore them and the troll will go away. No, you're doing something fucking stupid and your artist sucks and she draws like she's in seventh grade and she's drawing really stupid shit on top of that and causing controversy for you. Get rid of her. Get rid of that stupid fucking labeling. That labeling is stupid.
Yeah. It's stupid.
So Sam, what brewery was this?
Route 2 Brewery?
Route 2.
Yeah. And they're in Lowell, Indiana, because I thought they were in Michigan for a hot second when I saw Lowell. I'm like, what? That's actually kind of funny. The second story I want to talk about, we can just glaze over this one, because I just thought it was unfortunately timed and extra funny to me, was so like 3 days after this whole thing went down, I saw another dude tweet about a promo package he got from Sweetwater Brewing Company for their happy ending something, or I don't remember what kind of the beer it was, what style of beer it was. But it was the happy ending, whatever, and they sent the promo package along with a little hand lotion thing. And this dude that writes for Drunk Spin's like, is this supposed to be a joke, or did they send a vibrator along to all the female beer reviewers when they send this promo package out? And he got all up in arms about it, and it was another little mini snafu or whatever you want to call it on Twitter, a little hubbub. And I just was thinking, like, Jesus Christ, man, 3 days earlier we have these labels, and then all of a sudden this thing comes out. It's like, how bad of timing could you possibly have when, you know, in a certain subset of people? Like, I'm pretty sure some corners of the universe never even heard about either of these. This is the kind of shit that's going on, and it makes me laugh. I get mad because it's just like, come on, common sense and...
You're fucking alienating a portion of anybody who drinks your beer. You don't want to do that with anything. Like, that you try to be all-inclusive with that stuff. If you really should be. I mean, that's just the way to be, is try to be all-inclusive. Yeah, you can poke fun at stuff, but don't alienate us like a certain demographic of your drinker, beer drinkers, or your listeners if you're doing a podcast, or, you know, whatever.
I think the other thing that just makes me mad is that people like go on a crusade against it. I mean, and after your argument, Pete, I agree with you, like, we should point it out and be like, this is stupid, but people, it's like, it's the worst thing in the world, and, you know, like, well, there's actually some pretty terrible things going on the planet right now that we should all be outraged about. If we're all focusing our attention on this stuff, I mean, I get it should have our attention, it should get some ire, but the level that people get is just like the level that, you know, the whole I really have no good analogy. It's just on such a small scale, I wish people would put their attention towards more important stuff than beer labels and hand lotions.
Yeah, I get it. I mean, there is something to be said about somebody liking
I think probably a pretty good analogy, although it might be a bit extreme, is the
Charlie Hebdo whatever thing.
Well, I was thinking more like a cross section of the netosphere and the world that look at people rioting in Ferguson or after Eric Garner was strangled to death in the street.
Yeah,
I think that is anarchical and silly, and you're just making it worse. While at the same time, that same cross section sets fire to 92 cars when the Ohio State Buckeyes when they win. God forbid they lose. That would be twice as many cars.
No, they would take themselves into oblivion if they lost. So actually, it's usually better when schools lose because they're all just like, oh, I'm bummed out. I'm going to drink myself stupid.
Right. I mean, this people's priorities of what causes fervor is really out of whack. So this is a literally can't even moment just because it's, you know, as far as the labels go and the hand cream and all that, I thought, you know, the craft beer industry was maybe past that. And I don't know if I wouldn't consider myself progressive as a person if I didn't put, you know, misogynistic labels on my beer. I would consider that, as Sam said earlier, no brainer. You know, that doesn't make you a hero not doing something like this. So the fact that they're doing it is just like,
I
don't even know.
That's why I thought it was attention seeking. And
just absolutely fucking childish.
And there's so many better ways, like, you know, black label with the word IPA on it. And if it's really amazing, people are going to drink it, whether it's got a label or not, you know. You don't need to...
Yeah, if you just have a plain label, and, you know, I think there was going around a conversation on Facebook of, let's just go back to, like, being like, all right, here's the name of the brewery, this is their IPA, this is their brown.
I think I brought that up.
No, that was one of those moments where I'm like, hey, dude, get out of my head, because that's exactly what I think, too. But it's fun little, like, pocket drama shit It makes me mad because people get super fired up about it, and it's like, all right, guys, this is bad, but it's not the worst thing in the world either. I mean, we could probably handle this like adults instead of, like, pulling our hair out and shouting and stomping our feet.
I think the reaction might have been appropriate for it, though, because it wasn't like that. It didn't explode everywhere. I mean, searching for Route 2 brewery, you know, any combination of words, doing my Google Foo mastery, didn't really provide a lot of things other than, like, tweet rants or, like, a couple of blogs. I think I sent that around to everybody today. But if something like that happens, I think there should be, like, an immediate uprise, like, fucking stop it. Squash it really quick. I don't think everybody in the entire nation should be up in arms about it because there's way too many other important things to be, you know, pissed off about. But I think the reaction was appropriate in the volume that it was.
And I guess the fact that it didn't take a national fervor... It's probably a good point to that.
You're going to hear about that on CNN.
Yeah. That's a good way of putting it, Pete. I guess I can do that. I've just been so burnt out on everyone being outraged over something every week that I think that's what my problem was. It's like, all right, what's it going to be this week? Oh, it just happened to be a fucking lawsuit with Lagunitas in Sierra Nevada. So everyone flipped out about that. Last week it was this. What's it going to be next week? I don't know. It's just, I just wish it would be, I don't know. Fuck it.
Hey, you're right. Ryan, real quick, can you identify the fonts that are used on Lagunitas IPA and Sierra Nevada IPA?
No, it's the Kerning, dude. It was the Kerning.
You know, those two are, they're not like standard fonts. They both have, they've got very talented designers that do both those things.
That's such a political answer, but yeah, I get it.
it's so political, but the thing about it is that's a tough one. You know, those are both, they both spend a ton of money in designing each of those labels that it's not like I can go, oh, that's Helvetica. You know, the thing about it is they're not really a font. Those have probably been tweaked.
Those are physical designs. I get that, and I guess
I'm throwing that out there, not not only to give you shit, but to give you props if you could identify those two fonts.
No, and that's also the reason why I think the whole, you know, and I read today that Lana News is dropping the lawsuit or whatever.
Yeah, they it was last night. I actually read this what's his name, Ken or whatever, the guy that runs Lagunitas or owns
Sammy
it.
McGee. McGee, Sam McGee, John McGee.
The guy who's Lagunitas T on Twitter, whatever his name is. I don't remember his name. It doesn't really fucking matter. But he was saying about how, whoops, this was stupid. In the morning, we're going to drop the lawsuit. So, like, as of that night, he was already like,
Tony McGee.
There it is. Okay, that's why it's Lagunitas T. Ken wasn't even close. But, yeah, at that point in time, I was like, okay, well, the internet is now starting to judge who does and does not pursue lawsuits in certain instances. But I don't know. In my opinion, it's like, all right, a black lettering. I don't know. I hate legal action in most senses, and I feel like the trademarking just process in general is outdated. And, you know, it worked 200 years ago or whatever when it was invented, but now it's like, all right, we gotta kind of reevaluate how this works.
So that's sort of I don't know if this is on your docket, but that's sort of a nice little segue into another thing that's happening, is this like explosion of crap coming out of Boston about how Sam Adams isn't craft beer anymore.
Oh, dude, I didn't even read any of that. That was the whole outrage thing with that article of him at the brew bar or whatever ignored that one.
So I, of course, because of how the internet works and how our browsers and Facebook works and all the cache and how it sees what you do and it you know, knows where you live, what you drink and what you talk about. So essentially, you know, as soon as I looked at one of Beer Advocate's posts about Jim Cook,
even though it looks like Koch, but it's Cook.
It's Cook, yeah. Jim Cook from Sam Adams or Boston Beer Company, whatever you want to call it, you know, being sort of angry at a bar where they in Boston where they weren't selling Sam Adams. You know, I want to attribute that to sort of like, it's like if you're in Denver and you're at a bar and they didn't have, you know, Great Divide or something like that on tap.
Yeah.
Or even in Colorado Springs, they didn't have Bristol on tap. And Mike Bristol is going, oh my gosh, like I made this town craft beer. Which, you know, I can understand them being sort of angry about it. But then I also want to just totally call out their marketing team. Because yeah. I sit there and on the radio every single day is a Sam Adams commercial where they're trying to convince beer drinkers that they are craft beer. And if you have to convince people you're craft beer, you're not actually craft beer.
Probably not craft beer.
Which is, you know, and I think that they're craft beer. You know, they make awesome beer. I mean, I don't drink Sam Adams or like the Boston Lager, the standard thing.
Yeah.
But the thing about it is that it's a great beer, but it's not where the taste buds of craft drinkers are going. Yeah, maybe Boston beer, maybe Sam Adams is starting to become less craft beer, like in the definition of the term.
But they're not firing off lawsuits like other breweries.
But if
that
you
seems more big beer to me than anything, you know, production wise that Sam Adams would do.
But at you know, quote unquote big beers where we were at on Saturday, they had,
oh god,
they were pouring Utopias.
Yeah, it was awesome.
They were also pouring a 1994.
Yeah, did you try that?
Oh my gosh, it was amazing.
Matt and Pete, we drank a 21-year-old triple Bock beer. That beer can legally drink right now.
I want to just chime in there and be like, holy fuck, really loudly, really close to my microphone, because you're drinking Utopia, Utopias, yeah, or whatever that's called, which is Utopias, amazing, yeah. And it's amazing that they were pouring it.
They had a keg of it.
1990 fucking four?
Yeah, this beer was discontinued in like 98. They haven't made it since then, and
was it in those tiny little bottles?
They were in
the little blue bottles. I bought like three of those once off eBay in 2005.
Really?
And I mean, you can sometimes buy beer off eBay as long as they put the the disclaimer that you're buying bottles for collector's purposes, the contents of which are inconsequential to the purchase. So,
nice.
And it was pretty old. It tasted like maple syrup.
It was really good. It was super smooth. I mean, it was an 18% beer.
Yeah.
Which one?
Yeah.
The triple Bock.
Oh, yeah.
Although, I don't think it was a Bock. I think it's just a barley wine.
I mean, they call it a triple Bock, but it's basically a barley wine.
Yeah.
But
one of my ex-girlfriend's dads was trying to tell me that it was a holy grail of beer. That, you know, we have our quest for the holy grail of beer that has been discontinued. And you'd like to see them either rebrewed or you'd like to just buy something off eBay. That was
Pete, what was our original holy grail beer when we started Goebbels. Beer Loathing? Goebbels, that's right.
Goebbels, dude. My holy grail beer.
Didn't your brother knows the guy who had some of that though, didn't he?
Yeah, he
like we need to go beat him up and steal his beer.
No. This is the thing. He got a can of it. He's had a can of it.
He's waiting for his wedding, right?
He had a can of it for a really, really long time. And he was waiting for his 21st birthday, and he fucking opened it.
That's what it was. I thought it was like
super old, and like not even carbonated anymore. Like it just everything was just gone. He said it tasted like shit. But he had this fucking beer for so long because they stopped making it in like what, like 1995 or something like that, or maybe even closer to the 2000s. I don't know.
Yeah.
But he had this beer for so long, waiting for his 21st birthday. Finally cracked it. It was just shit.
Basically poured out dry corn kernels.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was.
The thing about the San Adams stuff is that stuff was still amazing, though.
No, it was good. It was actually delicious, and that's what I was really curious about, because I've never had a beer more than a couple years old. And a friend of ours of the show, he was actually on for my friend Noel, he brewed a beer intending to age and save until his son was 18. The gravities, as he calculated out, was supposed to be about 18%, and he's going to age it. He's literally aging this shit still. I don't know if he's bottled it yet. I think he just pulled it out of a tertiary fermentation, tertiary, like, carboy, like, a while ago. And his son's going to be, I think, 3 this year already. But that just
Clyde's
gave me...
Clyde's a little cutie, man.
Dude, Clyde's hilarious. It gave me hope for his 18% beer to be brilliant, and I'm sure it will be because he's a smart brewer. He knows what he's doing. But I was a little skeptical. I'm like, all right, 18 years, dude, come on. Are you serious? But drinking a 21-year-old beer that was still very tasty and super smooth, and I mean, I don't know how much of that booze was still stuck on it, and it was about the middle of the day, so I mean, I could have been shit-faced at that point. I really don't know. But I don't know. That was...
It was... So
it was after 10 a.m., so I could have been shithoused. I'm not positive.
You know, I was walking around. I was moving, so who knows what was going on.
So I just looked it up, and the official description of it is that it's an American strong ale. Mm. It's brewed with two-row malted barley, water, noble hops, and yeast, along with maple syrup, and then aged several months in oak whiskey barrels before being bottled.
So it was all two row?
That's what they're saying.
Wow. If that's the case, I'm impressed. That was a lot of two row.
Well, maybe it's a two row and then
two row base, and they had some other. Yeah, either way.
Yeah, but even the other ones were made with two row, maybe. Maybe the other.
Well, most of those beers, I'm sure, had a whole bunch of two row up in there.
Yeah.
Glasses too, but. Peach, should we wrap this up?
I mean, yeah, it's been really awesome talking to everybody again, though.
Yeah, I agree. This has been fantastic.
Yeah.
And no one sound robotic, so that's a huge plus.
Yeah, absolutely. Holy fuck, last time it was like we had a chat with Ryan, Sam, and fucking R2-D2.
Well,
guys, I hope you have a good night. It was good talking with you.
Yeah, Ryan, thanks again for joining us and regaling us with your stories of all the things I slept and barfed through on Saturday.
Well,
it's not a party unless Sam barfs in the shower.
Turn it off, Sam.
I'm not going to.